way government regains the trust of its citizens is by telling the truth. There is no other way, no shortcut.
I call upon our government to open up like the Belgians have, the French have, Brazilians have, the Argentines, the Mexicans have all released their files. It's about time now that we do the same thing and become a part of this planetary community.
It is way past time for all of us to know what our own government knows instead of being kept in the dark by a policy of denial.
The last time that Congress held a hearing addressing the extraterrestrial issue was 1968, 44 years of sightings ago. In those 4.5 decades, hundreds of thousands of new sightings have taken place. Government agency witnesses have come forward. Media coverage has expanded. Hundreds of documentaries have been produced. Thousands of books have been written. And yet the United States Congress has remained silent. So for a period of 5 days, at the National Press Club in Washington, D.C., 2 blocks from the White House, 12 blocks from the Congress of the United States, we're going to conduct a citizen hearing on disclosure of an extraterrestrial presence engaging the human race. 40 to 50 witnesses of high rank and station, from military, from agencies, possibly from intelligence services, along with the top researchers in the world, will give 30 hours of testimony to 5 former members of the United States Congress.
So maybe the citizens' hearing has a chance to try to leverage open some of the truth about the fact that we're not alone in this universe, that we might actually begin to look at what we really are, what the true history of this planet is, and that might be what gets us into a future without self-destruction.
The motto of the citizen hearing is, if Congress won't do its job, the people will.
Greetings, everybody. Welcome to Galactic Roundtable, Countdown to Disclosure. This is Beth. I have a lot of information to bring you today. I invite you to call in to the station with any questions that you have. We're listening on internet radio at bbsradio.com, station 2. If you would like to access the information for the station from galacticroundtable.org, then just go to that site and click on the picture of me with the BBS logo. It will take you right into the internet radio station. The telephone number, if you'd like to call here, is 888-429-5471. 888-429-5471. That's in the U.S. and Canada. And if you're on Skype, it's BBS Radio 2. So today there's a lot I'd like to share with you. So I'd like to cover all this information in our first half hour and take questions in the second half hour. So if you didn't get those numbers, please go to galacticroundtable.org and the numbers are posted there. Thank you. So today what I'd like to begin with is sharing the information from Dr. Keshi at the Keshi Foundation. Dr. Keshi put out an announcement on January 21st saying that in 2 months' time, on March 21st, 2013, he would like to release all of the advanced technologies that he has to the world. And the request that he put in is that we all sign the World Peace Treaty together before March 21st. So I've posted the Keshi Foundation World Peace Treaty on the website, galacticroundtable.org. And on the right-hand side of the page, on the front page, is the peace treaty, the World Peace Treaty. And also, if you scroll down to the bottom of the information, you can click on it and you'll have the printout form. The printout will pop up and you can use your printer and print it out and share it. So what I want to do today, since Ashtar has commissioned Dr. Keshi to be the one who will reconnect us to the ZPMs at zero point on Ashtar's command, on Ashtar's timing, then I wanted to share with you what Dr. Keshe had written about signing the World Peace Treaty. He said that in signing the World Peace Treaty, there were four pieces of information that were very important to understand. And one of them is an insight into the future of man on Earth. I need to read this to you because it's very important. And not everyone's putting this information out there. There is one thing that I do know for certain. We do not have one international space station. The secret space program has built 100 international space stations. And they're out there. And they're traveling to deep space. And they're not using the propulsion rockets like they say they are. They're using the technologies like what Keshe has built. And these technologies make these thousands of pounds of payload turn into just a few pounds. And they are out there, and they're traveling and bringing back payloads to the Earth. And it's time that we end the secret space program, and that we force, insist, and demand to our governments that they let us know the truth about their engagement with extraterrestrial civilizations, which they're involved with right now. This is what Dr. Keshe has written about an insight into the future of man on Earth. And I'm sure he means woman and man. Up to today, the scientific world has not understood the concept of the conversion of magnetic and gravitational fields into created matter. So in the late 20th and early 21st centuries, they created meaningless phrases such as God particles for those natural processes by which matters are created due to the interaction and the reduced or increased charge of different magnetic fields and gravitational fields, which we call their McGrab's strength. It is these interactions that make any entities detectable to man according to his physical capacity for sensory and visual perception, which is governed by the McGrab's strength of the amino acid in human tissue in the Earth environment. By calling the first sign of detectable matter in the plasma of the proton, the God particle, these misguided scientists have come up with a misconception like that in earlier centuries when scientists considered the Earth to be the center of the universe. According to this new fantasy principle of theirs, the body of man, the Earth, and the Sun can be and are one of these God particles too, as they have manifested themselves in the matter state and are visible and detectable, but on a larger scale of field and matter contents. What a pity that man takes so long to learn from his past misunderstandings and mistakes. Man's habit is to get absorbed in his fantasies and promote his mistaken ideas to the point where the topic under study and consideration becomes fascinating for small-minded people of the time. Although eventually in the course of his scientific endeavors and discoveries, he realizes that his past thoughts were mistaken due to his lack of understanding of his own creation. As man has matured intellectually and advanced technologically in past centuries, this has led him to make records of his environment and actions of other men. Initially on the walls of caves, and then on the skins of animals, and then on canvases and sheets of paper, and in the recent past with voice recordings, and then films or tapes, and more recently on microchips. Thus, man can easily understand that the inhabitants of the universe, who are far more advanced technologically and intellectually than present humans, and have been observers and passers-by of this planet for centuries, have made recordings of events of all men's actions on this planet over millions of years. And in the near future, they will play back all these recordings to the planet's inhabitants. Then the so-called leader of Earth will realize that observers have been recording the most significant events of this planet and their results over thousands of years for man to see. And they will show to the present generation of man that these so-called men of power on earth have done for themselves and to and for their fellow men. At the same time, over the centuries, the violent behavior of the human race has been broadcast live across the universe to other creatures who exist there, in the same manner as the news is broadcast across planet Earth nowadays. But the recordings made by these observers of Earth are more detailed and include not just the deeds, but the thoughts that have instigated these misguided actions of so-called men of power. If man knew what has been recorded of his actions in his scientific and humanitarian progress in past centuries by other beings of the universe who have witnessed it, then he would realize that most of his criminal acts of the past have also been recorded by the same intelligent creatures who have passed by this planet and have recorded man's vainglorious notions of his insignificant existence. These observers have recorded all man's injustices to other men and all of his fighting to possess meager pieces of land and worthless earthly materialistic riches by the use of war and weapons. As scientists observe the lives of animals in the jungle without interfering in them, these passengers of the universe have made recordings of how man has destroyed lives and nations by means of war, deception, and theft. They have recorded all the history and natural disasters of this planet, and all these recordings have been played back across the universe for centuries to show how man lives on his little island of Earth in the oceans of the universe. All these recordings are displayed across the universe, showing the violence on this planet. And man is represented as the wild animal of all its creations. I wonder if the leaders of men present and past and the so-called national rulers and religious leaders ever knew of these recordings of their inhumane deeds, misguided intentions, and thoughts while disguising their actions under different banners, such as imposing world peace and promoting one nation or one religion and so forth. These leaders of nations and religions will come to be ashamed of their dishonorable and disguised actions and intentions, as their work will soon be played back for all other people of the planet to see. Then these men of deception will be shunned by the rest of humanity, as the recordings of their true intentions are released in due course to the human race, and in time justice will be done to them for their vulture-like criminal actions disguised as the deeds of a dove. The human race will see what they have inherited through the false action of these men of weak aptitude, whose misguided actions have diverted the course of progress for their race and their souls in all the realm of creation. At the same time, these recordings will reveal and never distort the actions of the true seekers and promoters of peace and unity of Earth within the universal community. Thus, in a short time, man will see the true events of his past actions on this planet as shown to him by the recordings of other creations of the universe. Thus, what has been shown on man's television screens as violence in different regions of this tiny planet for abuse of color and religion, and his greedy abuse of his fellow men for material gain, of the worthless dust of this planet, all has been physically recorded in its true form, and in due course the leaders of the earth, present and past, will be confronted with physical evidence and have to account for their deeds once these recordings are released for all to see. In fact, most men, like their leaders, show the same greedy behavior as wild animals in the jungles, and they carry out the same misdeeds on other men. Nowadays, the so-called mass media broadcasts this behavior as news of conflict and war on a daily basis, not knowing that the same news of this violent animal behavior is being broadcast across the universe by other intelligences. Similarly, as men of integrity shun violence and violent behavior towards their fellow creatures, and as decent men keep themselves away from drunken and unruly brawls in the street to show that they have nothing to do with this unacceptable behavior, the universal community have done the same with respect to the human race and have shunned the human race as the untamed animals of the universe that they have wanted nothing to do with up to now, although they did on certain occasions in the past. This has been the status quo up to now, but this will change from now on with the release of new technology. Thus in time, when man realizes that all the actions, whether of a normal man or of the so-called leaders of the so-called nations of Earth or of religions, have been recorded and broadcast and displayed across the universe as the actions of the wild creatures of the universe, the man of wisdom will understand why man considers himself in his simple mind to be the only creation in the universe. That is why the scientific world has been looking in vain for life in the universe, since the rest of the universal community has avoided man due to his animal behavior, rather than choosing to make his acquaintance. I wonder how man will change his behavior when he sees what of his thoughts or his actions has been recorded by the other creations of the universe. At that point, men of integrity will see how the leaders of the nations of Earth have caused so much suffering and betrayed others to gain a meager, worthless pittance. With the present habits of the people of this planet, true leaders will be like gold dust. When my cry is to be ashamed of being born in the skin of such a creation, this is the cry of the author and would be the cry of the true men of peace, of the present and future of this planet. Shame on men who thought and think that their criminal brainwaves and their empty skulls and the deeds arising from these forsaken criminal thoughts have never been recorded, and who carry on living the same false fancy lives, never suspecting that their records will be open to all sooner than they could imagine. The real history of man will in due course be played live for future generations, for all to see by the space travelers of the universe. And then I wonder if dwellers on Earth and their so-called leaders will be proud to be of this race and planet. It is sad to think how long it will take for man to be mature enough in his thoughts, behavior, and deeds, not only to create a peaceful Earth community, but to be able to join the tranquil community already existing in the universe. M.T. Keshe. So, thank you. That's a quite an eye-opener. There are a group of souls on this planet who want to see the Earth in peace, and that's why we're gathering today. And I want to take this time now to focus on the citizens' hearing for disclosure without shifting gears. So let's dive right in, okay? Each day I would like to focus on one of the witnesses that will be heard in front of retired Congress, former Congress members at the National Press Club in Washington, D.C. And before I begin, I want to compare and contrast the work of Dr. Stephen Greer and the work of Stephen Bassett, just for clarification for everybody. Dr. Stephen Greer is the founder of the Disclosure Project, the Center for the Study of Extraterrestrial Intelligence, CSETI, and the Orion Project. So back in 2001, Dr. Stephen Greer of the Disclosure Project had a National Press Club disclosure event in 2001. And many of the witnesses who will be at the citizens' hearing for disclosure testified back then, or gave witness, I should say. And he is having a very exciting release of his documentary called Sirius, coming out on April 22nd. So I look forward to that. And then I'd like to share with you what I wrote in my book from 2012 called Stargate Earth, what I wrote about Steve Bassett. I am in the process of placing this book online in its entirety to be read for free because as we increase our intelligence, it helps us move forward with making a world of peace. There's a lot of information in there, and I'd like everyone to have access to it. The website for that is stargateearth.org. Part of it's already there, and I'm working on putting up the rest. It's time-consuming. About Steve Bassett from Paradigm Research Group. This is a quote from him. But the advocacy movement is now representative of a new era, exopolitics. The era of the UFO is over. It ended no later than 1991. UFO, in quotes, is now an anachronistic contradiction in terms. Imagine the India independence movement had focused on UFOs, unidentified foreign occupiers. The truth embargo is not about preventing citizens from learning about frisbees, balloons, and bird flocks. It's about withholding acknowledgement of non-human intelligence, beings flying about in Earth's skies, and much more. The scientific study of the phenomena should, of course, go forward, but should be called extraterrestrial phenomena research, not UFOlogy. And just to add about Stephen Bassett's background, this is also from the book. Stephen Bassett is a leading advocate for ending the 64-year government-imposed truth embargo regarding an extraterrestrial presence engaging the human race. He is a political activist, lobbyist, commentator, the executive director of Paradigm Research Group, and the Extraterrestrial Phenomena Political Action Committee, called XPAC, an executive producer of the annual X Conference. And now he is the producer of the Citizens Hearing on Disclosure. So today what I'd like to do is bring you about 10 minutes of video from one of the witnesses. And today we're going to focus on Dr. Robert Wood. Dr. Robert Wood has a Bachelor of Science in Aeronautical Engineering from the University of Colorado and a PhD in Physics from Cornell. He enjoys a 43-year career at McDonnell Douglas, managing research and development projects, and has spent over 30 years privately investigating extraterrestrial-related phenomena. He began research on the Majestic 12 documents in 1995. I've never spoken with Dr. Robert Wood, but his son works closely with him, Ryan Wood, and I have had a couple of conversations with Ryan Wood. And their website is www.majesticdocuments.com. And when you go there, you're going to find these documents are famous as a collection called the Majestic Documents, and they're all there. I've included this information in Stargate Earth with the permission of Ryan Wood to cite their website and their work to introduce people to these documents. These are the most important documents. All of the UFO researchers out there who have made lifetime careers in themselves had to go to the Majestic Documents to as a foundation for their work. And so Dr. Robert Wood and Ryan Wood also have a team of researchers who work with them today, and they are significant in their own right. So I hope you'll go to their website, majesticdocuments.com, and look at that. Now, I want to share a part of a talk that Robert Wood did on UFO crashes and retrievals. And every single day when I present a new witness, I'll be enticed to say, this is my favorite one. Because every time I go into a new person and their work, I feel that way about every single one. So I would describe Dr. Wood as having a brilliant professor mind, but he reminds me of all of our favorite uncle. You know, he has a humor that you don't see anywhere else. And I know you're going to enjoy this. The information he's bringing is staggering. So let's take a listen now.
Now, if you want to decide how you're going to go about the steps in reverse engineering, what you have to do is to remember that all along, ever since World War II, and maybe even during World War II, if an enemy fighter pilot flies a plane in like a MiG to this country, what we do is we send it to the Foreign Technology Division. We take it apart, and we send out the parts on a classified basis to the appropriate person, like IBM for a computer, for example, and ask them, what is it, how does it work, and that sort of thing. So that process is already in place, and it's easy to imagine that process already in place could be used for handling classified parts. So what you do then is you get the part, if you're on the recovery team, and you get the part and you classify it according to the instructions in the special operations manual that Ryan described. And you ship it to the right location, Area 51, perhaps, if it's propulsion. You identify the disciplines that are involved. You match it up with the cleared contractors. You set up a classified meeting, and Corso did that at least once. Take them the part. Ask them, how does it work? How much would you charge to make it? And then proceed down the contract process by discussing the schedule and the scope. And then as the knowledge emerges as to how the product might work, you begin to plan the patent process. You tell the contractor, says, hey, if you do this for us on a top secret basis, we'll let you in a few years have a patent, and so then we can have the benefit of that commercially. So you strategize the process of publication in the open literature, provide some controls, make sure the contract relationships are all secret, and then you go into the process of using the product for military use for a few years before it is available to the public. Now, the question is, how do you prove that? And one way to prove that is shown here. This is sort of the beginnings of a potential paper that I could conceivably write after I've done some real work. But as far as I know, nobody has written down this process and actually applied it to any specific development or invention, like the transistor. Although one researcher, his first name is Marcel, has actually thought this through and gone back to some of the unclassified documents. So what you do is you begin by thinking about, well, what is it you want to look for in the literature? You find the first reference, you read the literature, you understand the principles, you make a table of the authors, and then you correlate the names of those authors with who they worked for, which government agency, if they did, which university, or which contractor. And then try to go back and get records from the universities or the contractors of a relationship that they had that might have flowed money in. So that's the way you'd go about it. And once you got one that was pretty tight, then you could present that and say, yeah, I believe I have evidence that the microelectronics did not come out of nowhere, that there was a trail leaking back to the 1947 description. So now we're at the last topic of the talk, where I'm going to answer the two questions that many people ask me if they don't know anything about the subject, like most of you do, and that is, why would the government want to conceal this from the public? And because everybody knows that things leak in Washington in a few milliseconds, how on earth did they do it? So we'll go through these ideas. Now, again, we're going to begin with what's in the documents. And in fact, this is a list of seven different reasons in the White Hot Report that says if we went public, the results would be damaging, even fatal, to the world political structure as it now exists. That certainly is in harmony with the idea of the X Conference. The following considerations are the opinions of the committee. And I'm going to read each of these in their entirety because the subtlety of the language in the entirety is in the next seven charts. Next two charts. Public trust of the political institutions may be eroded and possibly held in disrepute. A complete revisioning may take place among institutions of higher learning, thus calling into question the certainty of scientific knowledge. The ability of the armed forces to secure national security put in jeopardy and possibly lead to undue fear and disorder. And this one is interesting because the two center lines are blacked out. But the last person to black it out before they sent it to Tim Cooper didn't do a good job. So if you hold an intense light behind it, you can read a couple of the words in these two blacked out lines. And those words are tremendously at currency value. So it reads, monetary and financial institutions would suffer tremendously, currency value, and industrial and commercial energy providers. Looks to me like that's a relationship between the banks and energy. Imagine that somebody had in mind a replacement for our petroleum. Going on then, history and religion in the political context would probably suffer the most damage, causing unprecedented upheaval in social and psychological well-being. Political repercussions may occur in our diplomatic efforts in containing the communist threat to our democratic interests. And finally, I thought this last one was really neat because you remember that Harry Truman was a Democrat. So Democrats were in, the Republicans were not. If such an announcement were made by the current administration, it could be perceived by the opposing party as a trick, laying open to accusations of unethical posturing and manipulating of the public's mind. So there you have what they thought in 1947. But what do we think today? This is what I think. And I think that people like Grant Cameron, who've been thinking about this a lot, and in fact many of the speakers, have their own list of why the public is deceived. But I like to, because I think most people can't think of more than three or four things, or maybe five at once, I've put these into four categories, and they are shown here. First point is the dominant reason for keeping the secret is to control the technology. That's where it started. That's where it was in the beginning. That's where it is today. We wanted to keep it secret from the Nazis, and we wanted to keep it secret from the Russians, and we wanted to keep it secret from Saddam Hussein. And there's no change in that, and they still want to keep the technology secret. And this is a point, for example, that Stan Friedman has often made, is you don't necessarily want to tell all you know. The second point, however, is to prevent panic. And they feel, rightly or wrongly, there might be panic just because of fear of the ETs, but more importantly, probably panic because of the religious upsets, and certainly panic if we find the stock market is gets a surprise. They don't like surprises. The third reason is to avoid prison terms, because the people who are in charge of the program, if they think about it, they realize that they've been violating the law or violating the Constitution or both. I mean, ranging all the way from the hoods who threaten to kill people and leave their bones in the sand, like it was done in 1947, to presidents who, for example, may have signed aliens to let the tall whites actually have their base here. Because, as you remember, a president is supposed to have the two-thirds majority of the Senate approval before making a treaty. It's likely in my mind that Eisenhower never got that. And finally, we need to conceal our ability, in some cases our ineptitude, to protect our airspace, to prevent cattle mutilations, to understand the technology, to explain why they're here or where they're from, and of course to prevent abductions, which also could work back into the panic aspect. Abductions are explained here. You don't understand? I haven't even seen Europe yet. Here's one of the funnier abductions. You talk to people like Melinda, you'll find you get a different story. So now, imagine for a moment that somewhere there is, in some underground base, the MJ-12 committee meeting, and they have a whiteboard there. And in this whiteboard, they draw a vertical line. On the left of the line, they put the reasons why we should tell the public, disclosure. On the right side of the board, they put the reasons why we shouldn't tell the public. And so we'll tell you what that board says right now. It says that here's why we want to keep it secret. First, we don't want to go to jail. Second, you know, there might be some genuine negative reactions of financial or political, just like we discussed. You know, in another one, we might not want to tell the public how effectively we've kept this under wraps for 60 years. They might wonder what else we've been keeping under wraps, such as JFK assassination or 9/11 subtleties. We might have a stable standoff with the ETs, even though we can't prevent the abductions. We won't be getting a lot of high technology from them, and we need it to retain control over the bad guys, like I just said. You know, that's a legitimate one. The religious backfire might be quite substantial, and it's really unknown. Or there might be a clear and present danger from one of the many alien races who interact with us all the time. So now, the other side of the board, you've got why continued secrecy is a bad idea. The price of secrecy has been illegal, unethical. It's kind of a cosmic Watergate, to use Stan's phrase. The secret programs are out of our democratic processes. We're paying for them in taxes. The courts haven't had an opportunity to review them, except maybe in secret, and that really troubles me. With more minds on a problem, we're likely to find more solutions. I think this is the point that Ryan has made very strongly and very effectively. And we won't have any panic. We're already adjusted to EDs. And it's not a secret anyway to those who've been abducted, who've seen UFOs at close range and who are on the project. That may turn out to be 10% of the people. And so the question is, when do we all start to laugh at the emperor's new clothes? Well, so you have these two sides of the whiteboard in some underground facility.
Okay. I think he gives a very good argument for us to really intellectualize and understand what's going on with the truth embargo. Now, let's just take this for a moment and think about it. The Disclosure Project, the research project that was presented at the press club, happened on May 9th of 2001. Do you remember that memo that they sent to George Bush when he was on vacation in Texas? Michael Moore brought this out in the movie Fahrenheit 9/11, talking about how they had intelligence that Saddam Hussein had planned on an attack on United States soil, and he did nothing about it. And later, Condoleezza Rice denied it. And so the Disclosure Project comes out with all the truth advocacy movement pioneers giving their witness at the National Press Club on May 9th of 2001. Within 60 days, they come out with this memo. And how many of you remember or were there on September 11th of 2001? Only a few days after, they were threatened by the Disclosure Project, and they had to do something to keep their interests alive. And we all know that Nasara Law was to be announced on the morning of 9/11. And this group of terrorists, many and most of which were Americans, put a psychological trauma on the world and changed the destiny of planet Earth. And it has taken us 11 and a half years to get back to this moment. And I am here to say to you today that this event happening April 29th to May 3rd is the biggest event of your entire life so far. And it's your duty as a world citizen to be there. And this is going to be available on live stream if you can't be there in person, and you're more than welcome to come in person. So the next thing I want to do is share with you some news of the day, give you some updates on things. I want to talk with my friend Hatem Gura, who's starting a groundbreaking new website that will be available soon. We're going to let him talk about that. And then when we're finishing up, since these are such heavy topics, and us coming together discussing them is so important, that I think we should end each day with a meditation. So I have a short 3 to 4 minute guided meditation to share with you at the end. So for right now, what I'd like to do is acclimate you to a couple of websites that you might find interesting. The first one is called paradigmresearchgroup.org. This is Stephen Bassett's website. He's the executive director of Paradigm Research Group. It's paradigmresearchgroup.org. And you're going to have to click on enter when you get to his website. And then at the top of the second page, it'll say start here. And you click on there. And then you're going to come up with, on the left-hand side, a menu of choices. And he has open letters, media watch, PRG projects, exopolitics news of all kinds. And my favorite tab is, it's alphabetical, is down towards the bottom. It says video and audio archive. And it looks like his webmaster has been changing this page around a little bit. Some videos have been removed, so I have confidence they'll be putting those back. And they've just reordered how they're displaying the videos. But there is a wealth of information on this website. If you want to go there, I'd like to share an update about my new website, galacticroundtable.org. On my BBS page at BBS Radio, there's a typo. It says galacticroundtable.com, but I had to rename the website because the domain name was so sought after when I gave up the site that some guy has bought my name and he has it buried in one of the U.S. islands somewhere. Anyways, it's all well and good because the new name is better, galacticroundtable.org. And when you go there, at the top of the page, it has the information for this broadcast that we'll do each day. And then a few points of interest. If you scroll down, you're going to see links to the Million Facts on Washington. So many of you have asked me, you know, I will do anything to help with this project. What can I do? So if you click on the Million Facts on Washington to the Office of Science and Technology Policy, there's a list of instructions of potential things you can do to besides faxing, you could email and send a letter. And it says in that piece, should I also call the OSTP? And it says, no, do not call. It will disrupt their operations and be counterproductive. But there are a list of contact information and how to fax and how to email. And I hope all of you will take the time to do that. The other thing I'd like you to see is in the center column on the front page are blog posts. And every day when we're on the radio and we're featuring someone, then I will have their bio put up there each day or the night before. And then the blog posts at a certain moment, they stop. But there's a little button at the bottom that says continue. And if you click on it, it'll take you into all blog posts in case you missed any. This morning I posted a YouTube, which is a recording of yesterday's radio program. So I will be posting these recordings each day so that they're there. I encourage you to go to BBS Archives to get the recordings. But I have to say that my audience is international and many of them, English is not their first language. So I want that YouTube up there because they get that. They can click on it and they can listen and share it. Another important section of Galactic Roundtable is the video section. Everything that I'm presenting on here, I've put up on the videos. Now, as the videos are added, the ones I've put up get pushed back, and they're not on the front page anymore. So to access them, you'll click on the add sign at the bottom of the feature, and that will have you come to all videos. So you would have to click on all videos to go back, but you can find anything that I present here is available for you to revisit there. There's also photos and a music section. But what I wanted to say is if you're not into social media, because this is a social media website, and if you really don't have time and you're not interested at all, what I invite you to do is I have a box on the right-hand side of the website that says enter your email address. And every single day, all the posts I do will come into your email box, and you won't have to go to Galactic Roundtable and look around for them. And you can just scan and look and see what interests you so you don't miss anything. Dr. Keshe's World Peace Treaty is on there, and I cannot stress the importance of that. And then the only last thing I wanted to share today is when we're speaking about Dr. Robert Wood and Ryan Wood's work. There's not too much that can be said about the Majestic documents. And it's my personal opinion, if you feel that you're a patriot and you really believe in the United States and you believe in bringing change, that the Majestic documents are a must read. And they are not technical and they're not hard to read. And thanks to Ryan Wood, I've been able to make them available in my book, and that's free online. And that's at stargateearth.org. And there's one other document that I believe goes with the Majestic documents as an absolute must read. And I put it on the front page of Galactic Roundtable to be read for free. Thanks to the website Black Vault, they made it available. It's buried in a 326-page document, so I pulled it out and put only the Psalm 101 document on there. And I'm pulling it up. The front page says, this is the Majestic 12 Group Special Operations Manual, Extraterrestrial Entities and Technology Recovery and Disposal, Top Secret Majestic Eyes Only. It's about 100 pages long. I invite you to look through the Majestic documents and the Psalm 101 document as the most important information and knowledge to have, and if you really want to understand the Citizens Hearing on Disclosure. So at this time, what I'd like to do is I'd like to invite my friend Hatem. Hello.
Hi, Beth. How are you?
I'm good. How are you today?
Pretty good, thanks.
I did get an email from someone yesterday asking about your project. I've got some echoes here. And this lady said, she wanted to know your name and she wanted to know more. And so I'd like to invite you each day because I think it's going to take us a while to really understand what your new website's about. And just to let everyone know, it's called the Earth Collective. And you were telling me yesterday about some new developments. And so I was wondering if you would please share that with us again. Introduce yourself and tell us again about this project.
Yes, the earthcollective.com or .org. It's going to be a platform for people to give love, receive love, health, wealth, new job, wife, girlfriend, husband, etc. I had this vision today of like a cartoon character stomping his feet on the ground. One person stomping their feet, then 10 people stomping their feet, then 100, then 1,000, then 10,000, then 1,000,000 people stomping their feet. Mm. And I was saying, wow, there's some power there. And that's really how I see the Earth Collective. It's just the Earth Collective and focusing their intent on sharing their love all across the earth. Eventually, I imagine, you know, thousands of people, hundreds of thousands, you know, focusing on the direction of a storm, you know, weaken it or even changing the direction of it. Who knows where, you know, the collective can lead to. But so this is a platform for doing just that. And hopefully it'll be up around April timeframe.
Oh, wonderful. So you were saying to me something about the potential of emails and getting updates.
Yes. Right now there's just a landing page. And we're going to put an email link in there so people can be notified when the site will be up. They'll get an email, and you know, the first bunch of people that will be on there will be basically the guinea pigs, and to test trial the site and see how it behaves.
That's great. And so, tell me what happens when I go to your website. You know, what's the first thing I do? You know, not now, but when it becomes available sometime in April.
Well, there's going to be some. First, you have to give to receive. So how do you give when you first get on there? We're going to have some house gives, such as giving love to the earth, healing the earth, giving love to eliminate hunger, homelessness, etc. So we're going to have some house give activities. Then once you give, you'll be able to receive credit or points in seconds that will accumulate. Then you can create your own activity where you can receive love, or you can receive health or wealth, and people will be able to share their points among each other, transfer some to some other one. And once an activity becomes popular, there's thousands of people giving into this activity, then it will automatically become a house account, and it will stay there forever until we just decide to remove it. So there's going to be a lot of playing around and seeing how things go. I mean, this was just an idea, and it's been very complex as far as how to monitor someone giving and so on.
I see. Sometimes I get the idea about this project, like, it would be like someone explaining to me what the iPhone was like before it came out. Like yeah. We have no idea all the features it'll have and how wonderful it'll be. But just as an open question, let's say I found out recently that my neighbor had cancer, and I wanted people to focus an intent of love for healing for this person. What would I do if I wanted to use your website for something like that?
Well, when you first go on the site, it's going to be a map of the entire earth, like a Google map. And you'll be able to click on the location of where you want to send, whether it's love, health, wealth, etc. And then once you do that and you click on a geographic area, then you'll identify the activity. You can do a write-up about it. You can add pictures, a video, trying to describe it.
Wow.
And then when people will be able to search for certain activities that are going on Earth, whether they want to, today they feel like doing some healing, or today they feel like sending some love. So then they will read about your neighbor being sick, and then the actual act of giving, where you will have to, you know, hold on the mouse for on a PC, or we're doing an iPhone or an Android app where you'll actually just be able to just put your finger on the screen, and it'll sense your thumbprint or your fingerprint. And that's how we're going to record how you're giving.
Wow.
So it'll be interesting to see if, you know, if it actually works.
I have no doubt that it'll work, because we've been doing these worldwide meditations, and we can see that it even affects the sun flares. We've had scientists, you know, send in graphs of before and after. And so I'm really excited and looking forward to, you know, the developments from your website.
Yeah, me too. I can't wait to actually see it happening, and people sending love and healing all over the place. And the idea is that if you're able to give love, that means you must have a lot of love. Or if you're giving wealth to somebody, then subconsciously that means you have a lot of wealth. So in a way, it pays you back. So good karma, I guess.
No doubt. And And they say what goes around comes around too.
Yes.
So it's like, I always think of it as this open channel of abundance. When we take certain actions in our lives, it keeps the channel open for more abundance. The more we have, the more we can share. So when we have small thoughts and small actions and we don't take a time out for ourselves or our family or others in our lives, then you're closing your own channel to abundance. And so it would seem that participating on this website, the Earth Collective, would keep the channel wide open and open it for others and more and more and more. And then next thing you know, we're all just covered in abundance, which will be a nice change to what the world looks like right now.
Yes, I actually have this this saying, do something for someone else. I'm going to have this on the site. Giving to someone else shifts your thinking from I don't have enough to I have more than enough to give to others.
Yeah, that's beautiful.
So yeah. Hopefully, hopefully sending love and receiving love, and, you know, we'll see. People will be able to say, I felt that, and they'll be notified how many people have given to them. And, it'll be a big, soiree, a party.
Wow. I can't wait. It reminds me, a lot of the world teachers have said that if you're feeling downhearted, and you think, you're the victim for some reason, something's gone wrong in your life, or something tragic has happened to you, that the way of cleaning your heart and feeling good again and coming back into balance is by doing something for another person.
Yes.
That's been mentioned by all the world teachers of all the different religions. It's a universal law.
Yeah, and I think we're using the physical fingers and doing some, using your body as well as your mind, maybe, that they'll actually get some satisfaction out of it.
Mm-hmm. It sounds like a nice alternative to what's available to us now. So I look forward to that coming out.
Thanks. Me too. Mm-hmm.
Thanks for being with us here again today. I'd like to keep talking about this as we're, anchoring in New Earth now. So everybody, we're getting close to the end of our broadcast, and I want to let you get back to whatever you were doing before this, and I hope you'll join me every day, and we're going to keep going over this information about the citizens' disclosure hearing, because this is our responsibility. This is the most important thing we can do to change the world, because we will not have world peace until we have disclosure. We will not have abundance or prosperity until we have disclosure. It's not possible. It's a spiritual issue. We must disclose to ourselves the truths about our world. And then following that, we will have the enactment of Nasara and we will have world peace. Dr. Keshi is working with us, so look up his information and share it with others. Thank you so much for being here with me today. Thank you to BBS Radio, the greatest internet radio in the world. And now what I'd like to do is have our closing meditation, and I hope you have a wonderful day. Here we go. Please join me in the Heart Light Meditation.
This is Beth from Galactic Roundtable. This meditation is to help you learn how to project your heart light out to change the world. When you enter into a deep meditation, hit the pause button on your computer. This will train you how to meditate. Enjoy. There is a simple exercise for radiating light and love into your environment. Prepare a tall, plain white lighted candle and place it before you. Now make yourself comfortable sitting in front of this candle with your back and neck in straight alignment. Let your body relax and breathe slowly and evenly for some time. Now, gaze steadily at the flame. You may blink your eyes as is comfortable. Just continue to gaze at the flame. See the wick, the center of the flame, and notice how its aura spills out and around. If your mind wanders, gently bring it back to the focus on the candle. After a while, close your eyes and visualize the flame and its aura in the center of your chest, its radiance spilling out beyond the confines of your body. You may wish to send this soothing, healing light to someone who is in trouble, afraid, or sick. Just visualize the light of your heart surrounding that person, accompanied by your loving thoughts. Remain in this state for as long as feels comfortable. Through practice, you can develop this ability to shine, creating a healing and soothing effect on your environment by your own positive energy. Do you ever have the urge to improve the world and don't know how? By becoming this flame, this constant positive energy field, you will do the greatest service to the world, to your family and friends, and to yourself. Once you are able to visualize the candle's flame without the candle actually standing in front of you, you can incorporate projecting its light while you are in deep relaxation.
Thank you, everybody. Please come back and join me tomorrow. Namaste.